Blessed morning. The sermon text for this morning is from Matthew 13, 18 to 23. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. We thank God for the reading of his word. Welcome. This is Hebron's Youth Weekend. I'm Renfred, the youth staff at Hebron. And I'm just glad to see all of you all this morning. Now, when I teach the youth, one thing I like to do is to tell them to look out for something they remember. And at the end, when we have our group discussions, they would start with sharing what is one thing that struck them from the sermon. So in the same way today, hope that you'll be able to pick up just one thing, and then you will have a very short discussion with the people around you at the end of the sermon later. Okay, let me start today's sermon or today's message by sharing about this plant in my hand. Okay? It's not easy growing plants. My wife has been trying to grow succulents, like cactus, aloe vera, because they were supposed to be very low maintenance. Long story short, they all died. This is a plastic plant. I stuck a flower on this plant because if we remember our primary school science, all flowering plants bear fruit. Whether the fruit is edible or not, all flowering plants bear fruit. Now, one of the main functions of a plant that bears fruit is to of the fruit from that plant is to spread its seeds. And this allows the plant then to multiply, to grow even more fruit. In today's parable, we read about seeds, soil, fruits, as Jesus explains to his listeners the need to understand God's kingdom and to bear fruit. Now, what is a parable? A parable is not just an entertaining story, but they contain truths about God as king. Jesus is giving us insights into God and his kingship through everyday relevant things such as seeds, soil, birds. He nudges his listeners to respond to truths about God. Now, sometimes it's hard to be 100% sure of a parable because a parable can be ambiguous or vague. But in today's parable, Jesus is actually explaining the different elements and what they represent. And so we can be sure of what these elements mean. In line with this, we'll cover today's passage in 3 points. The first is, have you heard about the kingdom? Or have you heard about God's kingship? Do you understand God's kingship? And if we understand, bear fruit. Have you heard about God's kingship? Do you understand God's kingship? And if we understand, bear fruit. Now, the parable of the sower is a familiar one. A sower is someone who plants seeds, who scatters seeds around. And here are four, and in this example, in this parable, we are given four different soils that the sower sows the seeds into. Road, rock, thorn, and good soil. Jesus says that the soils represent the heart of man. He also explains that the seed that is sown in this soil represents the word of the kingdom. So seeds are the word of the kingdom. But what does that mean? God's kingdom, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is a major theme. It's a big idea in the New Testament. It comes up about 75 to 80 times. We see the phrase kingdom of heaven because the Jews, Matthew's primary audience, they didn't like to use God's name. So they would use Matthew writing to the Jews, use kingdom of heaven instead. But the other Gospels use kingdom of God, but we can understand both terms as interchangeable, as meaning the same thing. Now, this year at Camp Hebron, Pastor David taught us to reframe and to understand the kingdom of God as the kingship of God. And I find this very helpful. You see, while the idea of a kingdom is often abstract, it sounds far away, like a distant geographical location, the kingship of God reminds us that God is king and he is not confined to a particular location. God's kingly authority, the spiritual placement of our hearts, are to be placed under God's kingly authority, under God's good kingship. Let me paraphrase Jesus in Luke 17, 20 to 21 when he speaks about this. When asked when the kingdom of heaven would come, Jesus said, it's not coming in ways that can be seen or observed. You wouldn't hear people say, look, it's here, or there it is. The kingdom of heaven is already in the midst of you. It's around you. So, Jesus is saying you can't get directions on Google Maps to the kingdom of heaven. You don't key it in and then you drive there or you walk there. It's not going to come like a sci-fi movie, like a big floating island or a big spaceship and Paxis when you're 18, you still have to come back and do NS. If you don't, that is called AWOL. You can go to jail for that. Huh? And in the same way as citizens under God's kingship, we don't only live under God's kingship when we get to heaven. Even on this earth, we have access to the benefits and we are to carry out our duties as citizens of our king. In the parable, the seeds refer to truths about the kingship. And this is shared with us, truths of the king, truths that Jesus spends the Gospels trying to explain to us and his disciples, that how Jesus, who is God, the King himself, has come to save those under death and sin. That King Jesus is there to take them out of darkness through his death into a marvelous life under his good rule. Under the kingship of Jesus, the kingdom is not of this world. His throne is a cross. His crown is made of thorns. And the king reigns in self-sacrificial love. Before we start on our next point, I'd like us to just pause and reflect on one thing that you can be thankful about King Jesus that you can be thankful for. So just reflect on one thing about King Jesus that you are thankful for. And then after that, we'll begin with the next point. One thing about King Jesus that you are thankful for. As we hear and as we are thankful for Jesus' kingship, let's now see if we understand God's kingship. Do you understand God's kingship? Jesus mentions at the end of the parable in verse 9, when he first tells it, he who has ears, let him hear. The soil, which represents the hearts of men, are not only to hear, but also to understand the truths about God's kingship. This is seen in verse 19, seen in verse 23, I think. Yeah, that there's a further difference between just hearing, but Jesus here is seeking for hearing and understanding. Hear the words of the kingdom and does not understand it. So there's a difference. So we are to both hear and understand God's kingship in our life. Now, hearing is very easy.
You are all hearing me now unless someone has fallen asleep. So if you see your neighbor fallen asleep, maybe you can give him a small nudge so that he can continue to hear. But the focus of the parable, if we really understand it, is to connect the understanding of God's word to our lives, to in our hearts. Now, often in church, we like to assume a person understands God or understand God's kingship if he's doing Christian things, like if he's coming to church, if they are attending KG, if they are serving somewhere. But in this case, and actually in many others in Jesus' teachings, understanding is not really an outward doing. It doesn't really show in what the person is doing in an action. The Greek word for understanding refers to a joining together of thought. A inner click, you know, when you get an aha moment, when we hear and understand God's truth and it makes sense to us, there seems to be something shifting and then something clicking together. That makes sense. Okay? But even in the parables, even in these explanations, this might still seem abstract. So let's follow the parable and learn from the first three soils what understanding does not look like. Okay, the first soil we have is the road. Actually, road is not even soil, right? Road is road. Okay? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart, and this is what was sown along the path. I like to call this, you don't know that you don't know. You don't know that you don't know. Because in the parable, the seed is exposed. Because the road is so hard, the road is not even soil, so the seed can't really go inside the soil. The evil one, represented by birds, then comes and snatches this exposed seeds away. So, when I say you don't know that you don't know, I'm referring to that in such cases, there is no realization. There's no understanding. Nothing actually goes in. Because God's truth never really went in, they are easily removed. It's like giving your children instructions before you leave the house. Girl, clean your room. Boy, in 10 minutes time, help me turn off the kettle. Then you hear no response, right? So you go into the room, then you see them all scrolling TikTok, playing computer games. Then you say, hey, do you hear me or not? Okay, can. Later. Okay, I'm going to do it in a bit. I see some smiles from the youth, sound quite familiar. Yeah. Then when you come back, nothing is done. And then you get angry. Hey, you replied me, you said later, you said you will do it. Why isn't your room packed? Huh? You got say anything, man? Huh? I didn't hear. Huh? What? Huh? You don't know that you don't know. Well, they heard you say something, right? That's why they responded. But clearly, they didn't understand. It didn't register. And there are consequences when we don't register, when we don't understand. Consequences depending on the seriousness of the message. In the case of the room, we might just get a scolding from our parents. Okay, stop playing now. You start packing your room. Okay? But if it's a kettle left boiling, you might end up with a burnt out kettle or burned down house. The consequences of not understanding depend on the seriousness of the message. Okay? The consequences of not understanding depends on the seriousness of the message. And the consequences of not understanding Jesus' kingship are eternal, are really serious. For us who come to church, we might not be roads in the sense that we know that the message is important. We know what Christ has done. But we all also probably know someone who doesn't understand this. Maybe it's someone you have tried bringing to church or even has brought to church time and time again, maybe every Christmas. But the gospel seems to be heard but not understood. It seems to be bounced off. They don't know that they don't know. It could be a friend, it could be a family member. But the message about Jesus' kingship is serious. The consequences are eternal. So to people whose hearts are like roads, let our lives be like signposts. Let our lives be like signposts. Always there, constantly pointing them to Jesus in our lives. While the roads might get the truth of Jesus stolen away again and again, let us be like signposts, constantly there, reminding them, pointing them to Jesus. I'm encouraged when I hear of brothers and sisters who are signposts to their family members, who are Christ to them. They break down the hardness of hearts with love in action, with prayers, with tears. And in God's good time, sometimes we hear of the joy of their spouses, the parents, grandparents, children coming to know Jesus, coming to understand Him. When you invite your friend to church and you share Christ with them, when you love them with love that you have first experienced from knowing Jesus, you are being a signpost for Him. For those who don't know that they don't know, for hearts that have heard but haven't understood, let's be signposts that help them understand that Jesus is King. Now, the second soil we read about is the soil of rock. Or rather, the first soil that we read about is the soil of rock. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, and immediately he falls away. Jesus explains that seeds that fall on rocky ground are rootless in troubled times. They have a shallow understanding and fall away when hard time comes. It's like, I like to think about it like, you think you know, but you actually don't know. You think you know, but you actually don't know. Now, radio station Class 90.5 FM once ran a television advertisement with the slogan, "Only hear the good things." It was about 10 years ago. I'm not sure if you remember it, but it was a very powerful advertisement. Okay, the advertisement starts with a tennis coach standing next to the father. And they're both looking at this young boy trying to hit the tennis balls with his racket. And the poor boy is just struggling. He can't hit the balls. It keeps missing. One of the balls almost hit him because he's standing really badly. And the whole time, the coach is just shaking his head. The advertisement mutes out some words, so the coach sounds something like this. "I have to be honest with you, George. I think your son has natural ability. One day he may be number one." Hearing this, the boy's dad looks happy because your son might be number one, right? Then the slogan appears, "Only hear the good things." But if you could lip read or you could actually understand, you will see that the coach is actually saying, "I have to be honest with you, George. I think your son has no natural ability. One day he may be decent, but he will never be number one." This is a very different message if we only hear the good things. Unfortunately, for some people, when kingdom truths about God, when the kingship of Jesus is shared with them, they only hear the good things, or sometimes they are only told the good things. Jesus is here to grant you health, wealth, and happiness. Jesus loves you and wants you to have your best life now. Eternal life is a free gift. Well, eternal life is a costly gift, freely given, price paid by Jesus on the cross. God is more interested in growing your sanctity than your salary. He's more interested in your holiness than your income. God in His sovereignty allows Christians to fall sick. Jesus loves you and wants the best for you. That's true. But to do that, He will put you through trials and hardships in life for your own good. It's like when I mentioned the benefits and duties of the citizens of God earlier. It's not just benefits, but they are also duties. When we share about Jesus' kingship to others, let's share the full message so that those who hear can fully understand. And when we hear the kingship of God, with the kingship of Jesus, let us try to hear the full message. So that when we face persecution, when the trials come in this world, because of our beliefs, because of our faith, we will not fall away. If you have doubts about Jesus' kingship, maybe you are still deciding to follow Him, or you are a Christian who is just going through a really tough time, and you are doubting how good God is, can I encourage you to be intentional, to understand more about Jesus, more about who Jesus says He is. Be rooted in His truth, not just by listening to what others say, but by finding out for yourself who He is through His word, through what He said about Himself. Maybe you can start with His I Am sayings in the book of John. Because it's really important for us to hear not just what other people say about Jesus, but what Jesus says about Himself. It's always encouraging for me to see seekers or struggling Christians wanting to be rooted in Jesus. They take the time to read God's word with others. They take the initiative to sign up for Christianity Explored, to discover who God is for themselves. This is a sign of wanting to be rooted in Jesus, so that instead of falling away in the tough times, we can remain in Him. So that instead of thinking, you know, but actually you don't know, you really get to know Jesus. So that when life gets rocky, when trials and troubles appear in our lives, when our lives get really tough, being rooted deep in Jesus, we can understand that our suffering is meaningful as it points us to the suffering Savior, our suffering Savior, who through His sacrificial love allows us to be under His kingship. So it points us back to Jesus in our suffering instead of away from Him. Now the last of the three not good souls is the thorns. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. These are people, you have heard about Jesus' kingship. It starts to grow roots, but it's choked. It's strangled. The life in the seed is snuffed out by the cares and the concerns, by the things of the world, by the worldly values, by the deceitfulness of how good riches look like, the lures of materialism, and then the seed becomes unfruitful. Road, rock, thorns, all are not good soil. All don't bear fruit. But I think it's the thorns that are the most dangerous. Because in this case, you don't know that you actually don't know. You don't even know that you actually don't know. You don't understand the riches of God are far better than the riches of this world. Far better. So you try to do both. You become a Christian who pursues the world and riches. There's irony there. You could be coming to church, but your heart is in a totally different place. We cannot serve two masters, brothers and sisters. In the same way Singapore doesn't accept dual citizenship, God's kingdom, Jesus' kingship, also doesn't allow for dual citizenship. You can only have one king. The thorny soil here refers to tares. These are weeds with thorns in them. So these are essentially weeds, very tough, very stubborn, very tough weeds. weeds compete with the plants for nutrients, right? For the nutrients that the seeds need to grow into a healthy plant and the nutrients needed to bear fruit. In the same way, the concerns of the world, the cares of the world, worldly values, the temptation of money, fame, career, success, grades, and results, they compete for the nutrients, the time, the energy, the resources that are required to bear fruit. They choke us, they block us, they snuff the life out of the fruit and out of the plant. We could be going to church, attending KG, serving in church even, look like a Christian, but be unfruitful. Why? Because what is fruit? Fruit is another idea that we see often come out in the New Testament, something Christians are called to bear. And I like to think of fruit as things of eternal worth. Things of eternal worth. Things that will last forever and ever. And there are only two things here on earth that will last forever. The Word of God and the souls of men. The Word of God and the souls of men. And I like to think of fruit as the Word of God in the souls of men. When the Word of God takes root in the souls of men and bears fruit of the Spirit that we read about in the Bible. Fruit like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we grow more and more like Jesus, that is when we are bearing fruit, as explained in the Bible. But if our hearts are thorny, if we are distracted by the things of the world, if we do not, we will not see ourselves bearing fruit because that is not our priority. So in those cases, brothers and sisters, we have to reflect and deal with the thorny weeds in our lives. I like to suggest we intentionally pluck them out, like when we are weeding, pluck out the weed one at a time. One thing for myself that I found helpful with dealing with these weeds is to ask people who face similar challenges with me but are more experienced than me, how they deal with the weeds in their life or how they bear fruit. Hearing them go through or hearing or learning from their experience, I find is really encouraging to know that it is possible. In the youth ministry, the youths have older mentors who share their experiences with the youth. How they deal with peer pressure, academic expectations, boy-girl relationships. But the success, they share both their successes and failures with the youth so that they can grow together and the youths hopefully will have a better time going through these challenges. But it gets tougher when we grow older because our lives get more varied. We have different paths, different careers. But I'm thankful that even here in Hebron, we have the advantage of having godly people who are successful by the world standards, that are willing to share their experiences, both in their careers and both in their walk with Jesus. I have heard of how some lawyers, how doctors, how CEOs, engineers, businessmen, finance people, they are willing to share with the younger ones, the young adults in church, their experiences in the industry and their lives as well. So young people like me, when we ask for experience, let's not just ask for the sake of career advancement. Let's also ask them how they dealt with the struggles of being a Christian in a really worldly world, how they dealt with the weeds of worldliness in their lives. Intentionally seek the experiences of older, experienced, godly people, not just in your careers, but in your plans of a relationship, in leading your family, in your personal challenges. And as an older person, or when you're an older person, or even when you have just a chance to share with someone younger, share not just career advice as well. Don't just ask them about their work. Yeah, ask them about how they are doing spiritually. Yeah, share how good God has been to you. Encourage them that God is real and working. Let us help one another understand that living under God's kingship is better than focusing on the weeds of the world. The last point today comes from the last soil, which is described as good soil. And the point here is very simple. If we understand God's kingship, Jesus' kingship, we are to bear fruit. If we understand, we bear fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The one who hears and understands. When the word of God takes hold on the souls of men, we see that he grows fruit 30, 60, 100 times. Now, the different fields produce different harvests. The point here isn't to compare who produces more harvest, because 30, 60, 100 all are called by Jesus as good soil. So it's not, the point here is not to compare. Because even a 30-fold harvest in New Testament times was a good harvest. 100-fold would be a miracle one. The focus here is as long as they understood, they produce fruits. They are all good soil. So those who truly understand the kingship of God produces fruit. And why do we produce fruit? We don't produce fruit because we do something, or we design a fruit and then we maybe 3D print it out. We produce fruit because our King has dealt with our sin through his sacrifice. We produce fruit because our King's righteousness covers us by faith. Our King Jesus is victorious over the grave, and his victory over Satan is certain. Our King's Spirit dwells in us. He gives to those in him joy and peace. Our King's holiness is then produced in us. Our King's power is available to us. Our King is the one who blesses us with fruit. And that's why we don't boast about our fruit. We don't compare. Because it's God who bears the fruit in our lives. If we truly understand that it is because of Jesus we can bear fruit, we will be fruitful. I like to make a point that none of the fruit of the Spirit can be well developed on their own. If we want to develop fruits of the Spirit, the best and most effective way is to develop them as we interact with others. Nothing helps us develop fruit more than when we choose to love others. Once in a while, my wife, Monica, would reflect and say that before marriage, she always thought she was a pretty good person. She thought she was, pretty good at being kind, gentle, good and loving. And then after marriage, having to live with me, she realized there's still plenty of room to grow. I just feel like I should get some credit for helping her grow in patience, self-control, and long-suffering. Jokes aside, when you choose to love somebody, when you choose to love your family, your spouse, your friend, your children, you find yourself developing fruit. Because bearing fruit is not once and done. It's about growing fruit that is deeper and sweeter and richer. I like to think of this like normal fruit and Japanese fruits. Normal melon is good, but Japanese melon is another level. So we can always further develop our fruit. We can always grow richer, sweeter, better fruit in Jesus as we enjoy more and more the deeper, the sweeter, the richer, the love of our King. Nothing helps us develop fruit more than when we are in Jesus and we choose to love others. And I like to end by emphasizing that fruit is also best grown with others. There was a farmer who grew excellent corn. It's corn. You know, the big lump with knots. It's got the juice. Every year, this corn farmer, he won the prize for growing the best corn. And one year, a reporter interviewed him because he found something really strange about the way he grew corn. The reporter discovered that the farmer shares his best seeds with his neighbor. Farmer has the best corn, right? Then he shares the best seeds with the neighbor. Not to make popcorn, but for them to grow the corn because they're all farmers. Why do you share your best seeds with your competition? The reporter asked. Why? Didn't you know? The wind picks up the pollen from the ripe corn from all around our surrounding. Then it swirls it. It moves it from one field to another. If my neighbors grow inferior corn, their pollen from this inferior corn will move over and constantly degrade the quality of my corn. So if I want to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors grow good corn too. If I want to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors grow good corn too. Good fruit is best grown with others. As citizens under the kingship of Jesus, let us create an environment where we can help one another bear fruit, pointing and spurring one another on, not just to hear, but to understand God's kingship and bear good fruit. I'd like to just share an encouragement of a similar situation here in Hebron. Recently, a youth shared with me how they had to take a 7-hour bus ride back from church camp in Malacca, Camp Hebron in Malacca this year. So yes, most of your bus rides were 7 hours. Sorry, I took another bus. But most of your bus rides were 7 hours. I think someone was 8.5. Because of accidents, traffic jams, a burned down lorry, a 3-hour ride that was, what was supposed to be a 3-hour ride, more than doubled. So we were sitting in the bus for hours. Not enough toilet breaks, not having dinner. As Singaporeans or as human beings, our natural reaction is to get frustrated, get grumpy, maybe start complaining. And at the 5-hour mark, this youth said, that was the environment in the bus. Grumpy, tired, frustrated, just want to get home. And then someone started to sing. I haven't been able to confirm who it was. I think it was one of the aunties. But after a while, others followed along. They were singing Christian songs, worship songs, songs of the camp booklet, familiar songs growing up, Sunday school songs. The Chinese congregation members sang along as well, sang Chinese songs. And we all sang boldly in that bus. People of God praising their King. That youth told me she felt the atmosphere change. Instead of a grumpy, frustrated bus, it was filled with the joy of the Lord. Let me tell you, fruit was developed that day. Yes, fruit of self-control, long-suffering, and patience, definitely. But also joy. Joy in the midst of a trying situation as the people of God praise their King. If we truly understand the kingship of Jesus, we live as his citizens, bearing fruit in appreciation of our King, fruit of the Spirit in our lives and in the lives of others as we live out God's kingship. I'd like you all to just think, maybe take 10, 15 seconds to think of something that struck you in the sermon, and share that, share what God has put in your life to encourage and to build up one another in Him. Yeah, so we get about 5 to 7 minutes for this, and then after that, the worship team will lead us in a response song. Thank you. So, 10 seconds, then I'll tell you, then you can look for a neighbor. Yeah, if you're really uncomfortable, maybe you can pray by yourself and talk to God about it. But if not, if you want to look for someone, let's keep an eye out for our brothers and sisters. Please begin sharing. Thank you.